Recently, I have been drawn to the prayer life of Jesus. Jesus was no hermit. He was active. He was a busy leader. And yet, he intentionally carved out swaths of time where he could pray. And I think the disciples saw this firsthand, and they saw the miracles that he did. They listened to the teachings he gave. They witnessed people flocking to Jesus, and they saw him then go away and commune with the Father. Was there a link between his effective and hectic public ministry and his prayer life? Well, the disciples obviously thought so because they asked Jesus, "Hey Jesus, can you teach us how to pray?" Jesus was able to minister out of a deep well of wisdom, direction, power, and courage. And the disciples saw it, and they wanted it. Prayer, oh, how vital prayer is to our journey of becoming more and more like Jesus. And it shouldn't surprise us that prayer is what empowered Jesus, I believe, to continue to carry out his mission and his purpose. Last week, you'll recall, we were in John chapter 14, where we'll be again today, and we looked at some promises that Jesus makes as we're continuing our I Will preaching series, the promises that Jesus made. Today we're looking at the three verses that came right after the text from last week. And they contain some pretty powerful promises from Jesus which center on prayer. So we're going to dive back in today, and as we look at these I Will statements, I think there's some here that we may not fully understand. And so hopefully we'll be able to unpack that a little bit today. John chapter 14 is our text, verses 12 to 14, for a message entitled, "I will do whatever you ask in my name." John chapter 14, beginning with the 12th verse, "Hear now the word of God. I tell you the truth, anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. He will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father, and I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it." This, of course, is a difficult time for the disciples. After being with Jesus for 3.5 years, the time is coming for Jesus to continue the ministry that he was sent here to do, to go to the cross, to give his life, to die, and to be resurrected. But as they enjoy that last meal together and learn again of Jesus going away and of his promise to send the Holy Spirit, Jesus talks about someone betraying him. He tells Peter directly, "By the way, you're going to deny me 3 times. I suspect these disciples would miss Jesus. They would miss his love. They would miss his friendship, his companionship, his patience with them, his teachings. Very soon they would be on their own like a baby bird ready to jump off the branch for the first time, or like a pilot about to fly solo for the first time. They would need to minister without Jesus and his presence." So Jesus gives them some reassuring words in our text, and our first point comes right out of verse 12. Jesus promises that his followers will do what Jesus has been doing. "I tell you the truth," he says, "anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing." Well, what has Jesus been doing? He's been preaching about the kingdom of God. He's been doing lots of teaching about the kingdom of God. He's been performing miracles. He's been ministering to those who were on the fringes of society. He was healing people, doing some amazing things. So how in the world are the disciples going to be able to continue that kind of work? I mean, these are uneducated men. How are they going to be able to do that? And the answer is quite simple: by continuing to share the gospel. Continuing to share the gospel. Keep in mind that Jesus never traveled more than about 150 miles from where he was born. He healed people, but he only healed a couple dozen people. The total number of people who claimed to be his disciples 40 days after his death and resurrection was only about 120. So how would they be able to continue that ministry? Because when you look at Jesus' ministry, it doesn't sound like he accomplished very much. Only 120 followers after 3.5 years? The difference is Jesus was limited by time and space. He was limited by time and space, but the disciples wouldn't be, because they would be empowered by the Holy Spirit, and they could go wherever the Spirit led them to go. They wouldn't have the same kind of boundaries that Jesus had. The ministry of Jesus would be multiplied by 12. And when we read the book of Acts, you'll see some amazing similarities between what Jesus did and what the disciples were doing. Peter's preaching with boldness, just like Jesus. They're doing miracles. They're healing people. Paul, in Acts, I believe it's Acts 20, brings Eutychus back to life, just like Jesus. Paul speaks with a boldness and a passion about Jesus as he demonstrates how convinced he is that salvation through faith in Jesus Christ is our greatest gift. These disciples would, in fact, do the very same things that Jesus was doing, primarily preaching and teaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. We talked in previous weeks about Jesus promising to send the Holy Spirit, and boy, when he did, these disciples, they became Spirit-empowered, and they became like different people. They became on-fire disciples for Jesus. As brethren, we declare that we are continuing the work of Jesus peacefully, simply, and together. That is the promise that Jesus is making to his followers in verse 12. Anyone who has faith in me will be doing what I have been doing. And so the brethren for over 300 years have taken that verse to heart as we continue the ministry of Jesus, one soul, one church at a time, preaching and teaching the gospel. But Jesus doesn't just promise his followers will do what he has been doing. He promises that his followers will do even greater things. Not only are you going to do what I have been doing, Jesus says, but my followers will do even greater things. This is the second point and the second promise in verse 12. First of all, we need to understand that greater things here doesn't mean greater miracles. Doesn't mean greater miracles. I mean, let's face it, it's pretty hard to top raising Lazarus from the dead after he's been buried for 4 days, or multiplying a few meager rations to feed 5,000 people. We're talking about greater miracles here. The key to understanding this promise lies in the last words of verse 12. Jesus says, because I am going to the Father. Jesus was telling the 12 that the greater things was how Christianity would spread through these men, through these disciples that he had spent so much time with, and the power of the Holy Spirit. I think it's worth pointing out that when Jesus talks about greater things, he's talking about a much broader range of activity than just miracles. He's talking about preaching and teaching. He's talking about proclaiming the good news. He's talking about befriending sinners and outcasts, ministering to the poor, observing the Sabbath, worshiping the Lord, making disciples, and yes, occasionally a miracle. Jesus wasn't encouraging them to do the physical miracles that he did, but he's looking for spiritual results. I want you to talk about the gospel. I want you to proclaim the gospel. I want you to change hearts, not physically heal bodies. And that's why the disciples, that little phrase, because I'm going to the Father, is so crucial. Because it is only after the glory of Jesus' resurrection and his ascension that the Holy Spirit comes and empowers these 12. To do the greater works. Greater things, if you think about it, the greater things that have occurred because of this promise. 40 days after Jesus' ascension into heaven, there are 120 followers of Jesus. 120 followers. Today, there are 2.4 billion Christians in the world. About one-third of the world's population. Christianity is expected to surpass 3 billion people by the year 2050. Christianity is the majority religion of the population in 157 countries around the world. Friends, that's evidence of the greater things that have happened since Jesus ascended back to the Father. Not to mention the fact of countless hospitals and schools and missions and colleges that have begun as Christian organizations. The greater work of Jesus Christ, of the believers of Jesus Christ, is pretty hard to get your mind around. When you think of his 3.5-year ministry and less than 200 followers to now 1/3 of the world's population, 2,000 years later. That is the greater things that have resulted because of the power of the Holy Spirit and this promise from Jesus. But friends, it's this third promise that we want to spend a few moments on this morning, and that's in verse 13. Jesus says, "And I will do whatever you ask in my name so that the Son may bring glory to the Father." And then to put an exclamation point on this promise, Jesus says it again in verse 14. "You may ask me for anything in my name and I will do it." The point is quite simple. Jesus promises to do what we ask in his name. Now, at first glance, that might seem like a blank check. That might seem like, oh, wow, I can ask Jesus for anything, and he will grant it. Okay, let's see. I'd like to win the lottery tonight, and I'd like so-and-so to be made completely well, and so forth. That's not what's going on here, folks. Jesus is not encouraging us to pray for selfish things, but rather to pray for his things. His glory, his will, his purposes. Don't think of this promise as us praying to sort of a celestial Santa Claus that he's going to grant whatever we wish for. And don't think for a moment that saying, "I pray this in Jesus' name," as if that's some magical, mystical formula that will get your prayer answered. What does Jesus mean by this promise? "You may ask me for anything in my name." None of us all of us have probably prayed a prayer and asked for something in Jesus' name, and that prayer wasn't answered. So what are we talking about here, Pastor? What are we getting at? I think the question we're asking is, are we asking God with the right motives? Are we praying with the right motives? Because we're supposed to ask in Jesus' name. And we're supposed to ask according to God's will. So Jesus might very well say it this way: "I gave you the Holy Spirit. I give you the power of the crucified and risen Christ. And now I promise you can ask for anything in my name for this mission, for the glory of my Father. And your prayer will be answered." So friends, put every request through that filter. My Father, my worth, my purchase, my wisdom. Is my prayer, if answered, going to bring glory to God? You will have everything you need to do if you pray in that way. Jesus is saying, when you seek to carry on my work in the world and you seek to let your light shine and live in love and offer forgiveness of sins in the name of the crucified and risen Christ, ask me for whatever you need, and I will give it to you. That is a great promise. A great promise. And the fact that the greater works continue today through each of us as fallen human beings is a wonderful promise. He's still doing his greater works. Let me give you a couple takeaways from the message today. First of all, the ministry of Jesus continues today through you and me. And that may sound good or it may sound bad, but I think it sounds good because we are on the team with Jesus. You know, we have the opportunity to participate in the redemption of a lost soul. Think about that. We get to change the eternal destiny of someone who many times is destined to hell, and yet we can share with them the gospel of Jesus Christ. Solid Rock Youth Ministries talked about that this morning. How they are able to be an intersection for people who are on the road to hell. We get to participate in that. That's a greater ministry for us. We are picked to be on Jesus' team, and the good news is we all get to play. Second, the same power that we see in Jesus is available to you and to me. You know, I wish I had the power that I could lay my hands on someone who is ill or someone who's blind, heal them to the point where they could see again or they could be well again. I wish I could raise the dead back to life. If so, I would be busy all the time. Okay? That's not the gifts that I've been given. Ephesians 1, chapter 19 to 20, Paul writes that the same power that the Father used to raise Jesus from the dead is at work in us. The same power that brought Jesus back from the dead is at work in us. And who was that written by? It's written by Paul, who was in prison at the time. And he's chained in prison. He's writing these words to the church saying, the same power that is at work that rose Jesus from the dead is at work in you and me. Friends, that is a wonderful promise. No matter what we're going through, we can rejoice because God's power is at work in us. And lastly, the power of prayer is in the one hearing our prayers. Jesus promised to do whatever we ask in His name. In His name. Which means if we are abiding in Christ, if we are living as a faithful follower, you know what? We're going to be asking for those things that are in accordance with His will. Remember the Lord's Prayer that Jesus taught His disciples to pray? What's in the very center of that prayer? What's in the core of that prayer? Thy will be done. We should be praying that God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So may we continue to trust the promises of Jesus and seek that God's will be done in our lives, among our families, and certainly within His church. Let me close with this. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, 7 to 8, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, the door will be opened. Another promise of Jesus. One that assures us that His power is at work in us, that He hears our prayers, that He delights in our prayers, and if we are praying in His name and in accordance with His will, the greater works will continue. Friends, let us continue to lean into this wonderful promise and do the greater things He has called us to do. Let's embrace our mission to continue the work of Jesus and even greater works peacefully, simply, and together. To the praise of His glory. Amen. So be it. Amen. Father, we thank You for Your word to us today. Wonderful promises of Jesus in John 14. That we'll be able to continue the ministry of Jesus, but Lord, to advance it even further, to do even greater works, and to be assured that whatever we ask in Your name, in accordance with Your will, You will grant to us. Thank You, Father, for these promises. May we lean into them this day and this week as we endeavor to become more and more like Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.